Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special bonus episode of Note to Scene. I'm Matt Crane.
I'm Tyler Sharp.
And for this bonus episode, we will be paying tribute to the soon-to-be legendary emo rapper Lil Peep, who tragically passed away this week at the age of 21. Tyler and I both thought Peep was the future of music, and he meant a lot to us. So we want to send him off the right way. We hope you enjoy. So just some quick business for Note to Scene listeners. This is just a bonus episode that's coming out for Peep. So if you're not a fan of Peep, this isn't really affecting the Note to Scene feed. You'll still get your weekly Note to Scene episode on Monday. But you know, if you've heard Tyler and I talk about Peep on the show and you've been curious, this is definitely a good episode to listen to. If you're not a Peep fan, just go ahead and move on. And if you're not a fan of Note to Scene, this is definitely a good time to check out the podcast. But we're gonna be paying tribute and honoring Lil Peep this whole episode, who died at 21, and it was just terrible. Before we get into any details of the death or anything, Tyler, I want to go back. So Lil Peep has been in our life less than a year, right? I think we first got into him early January.
Yeah, it was right around the beginning of the year.
It's crazy because I remember that night so
I do
vividly
too, man.
because
I do too.
I think of the day another music critic had tweeted out the girls video, sort of making fun of him. Shouts to Chris Ott, wherever the hell you are.
Wherever you are, man.
And I saw that video and I watched it and I was like, it was just one of those moments where, you know, you have those musical moments where you're like, I think something's here, you know, like, and so I started looking at some of the songs and I was like, I gotta send these to Tyler. 'Cause like, I was like, I'm either going crazy, either I'm crazy and this is awful and I've officially lost all my taste in music, or this is the best thing ever. So I needed verification. So I sent things to you and I was waiting for you to text me back. You know, like I was waiting for you to be like, man, what is this shit? And you text me back, you're like, dude, you've definitely found something here. Your reaction like was instantly, you were like, there's something here.
Straight up, the first song that I heard that wasn't Girls, because you sent me the Girls video first, and I was confused, but I
And
was
this is
like, there's
in
something.
context, this is early January we did this, just to put
Right,
it
yeah.
in
And,
right when the girls video dropped.
And I was confused, and I didn't really know what this was. I was like, I've heard things like this before, but never this way. And so we kept digging a little further. You kept sending me more links, and the next song that I heard from Peep was the title track to his Hellboy mixtape. And if you're a Peep fan and you know of that mixtape and you've heard that song before, you know that he samples Under Oath, Too Bright to See, Too Loud to Hear. Straight up, I almost fell out of my chair when I heard
Straight
that.
up, right off T Sharp's favorite Under Oath album. So now, first off, I was sending T Sharp links. Now I'm getting frenzied links coming from T Sharp of like, he did this song and he did this song, because Lil Peep was doing a lot of emo rap over Scene Band samples. Like he was rapping over Under Oath. He was rapping over Brand New. You know, he did MCR, whatever. He would rap over
Straight up, when I fell out of my chair, I fell down the rabbit hole, man. He did the No Seatbelt song. He
Oh,
did
man.
Avenged Sevenfold. He did he was all over the place. And these songs were like, I couldn't
And
believe it.
I want to ask you, like, because for me, this is the first time since I was a teenager that I had had sort of a musical discovery experience like that. Was it the same for you, or have you had something like that recently where you've really just sort of music got transformed for you by an artist like the way Peep did, and it was just a new thing and an adventure?
You and I had this conversation earlier this year off the show, off the record, and we were trying to figure out music that we could pin down that had moved us that wasn't released in the mid-2000s, like music that had genuinely changed us as people emotionally, the way we think. And we literally couldn't nail down an artist 2010 and beyond. And when I look back at Lil Peep and what we've experienced over the last 8 months, and that night when we discovered him, something like clicked. And
yeah,
I wasn't sure what it was, and it was so exciting because
have you ever, it's just like those first few days of discovering him. I haven't had a moment like that since I was a teenager and I was discovering Brand New, you know, or discovering Panic at the Disco. Like, it was the first, I just haven't felt like that in a long time. And
absolutely.
It was a trip just going right down. It was magnetizing. It just pulled you right down the hole.
Absolutely. I had no idea. I had heard the word SoundCloud Rap before, but it was nowhere near on
we
my
were
radar.
Like kind of aware of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like we knew what was going on, but like, and Peep is kind of adjacent to SoundCloud Rap
totally.
In his own weird way, you know, because he was more of a singer, but it's just very interesting. So my one question I have for you is, what was the first Peep song that hooked you? Like, what was the one that really, like, you weren't going anywhere? Like, once you heard it, you were in.
It was Hellboy, the title track on that. And I know it sounds weird because it has the Underoath sample, but I genuinely think that's one of his best songs that he ever released. I think that hook is fantastic.
It's a banger. It's got a lot of plays.
And I questioned the girls song. I was like, okay, there's something here. I don't know if it was the video that drew me in more than the song, but I love the instrumental on that track. But I'm going to use this saying, I'm going to steal this from Max Martin again. The math is wrong on that song, and it was hard for me to comprehend like that being my gateway track. But when I heard Hellboy, I was in, man. I was fucking in. And then I heard his Wonderwall sample, and I was just like, what the fuck is going on, man?
Okay, so Girls is more of a hip-hop track, you know?
Right, yeah.
And Hellboy and some of the other stuff you get into is more of an emo song, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, for me, Girls, I was hooked from Girls. Like, I was like, this is just way too interesting to ignore. Like, in the Girls video, when he flashes that pink grill with that smile at the end of the video, I was like, this might be the future of music when I saw that. I was like, this guy knows what's going on. But when I heard Kiss, which is more of an emo pop punkish song,
right,
that was the song that like officially hooked me, I'd say.
That was the one that Pitchfork gave Best New Music, right?
Yeah, actually true. Yeah, Pitchfork gave Best New Music to it. And that was kind of a big deal. Interesting, you know, for such a woke blog to give Best New Music to a song that has questionable moral lyrics in it pertaining to one.
I was so surprised the indie blogs that were given Peep coverage. I mean, Pitchfork backed this kid.
I think everybody just knew, you know, as soon as you heard it.
If you listen to Peep and if you even, you know, scratch the surface on what he was as an artist, you just knew that it was special.
And speaking of his backing, you know, not just from a fan and media perspective, but I think it's important to point out just Peep, I think he was a genuine artist. You know, he moved out and he was genuinely making this music, but he got discovered and he got big backing really quick, which, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily know who was behind the scenes, but Peep was signed to Carol Lewis, who is Eminem's agent.
Right.
So put that into perspective. Eminem's agent has signed another white blonde rapper, if you got to say it, you know. That means it's a big deal, you know? And he was also signed to, I forget the name, is it First Star Entertainment?
I think that's what it's called.
Something
or First
like
Access
that.
Or something.
Yeah, it's the same company that Zayn from One Direction is signed to, Ellie Goulding is signed to, and it's basically, I think it's a front shop for Warner Brothers Records, pretty much. So he was basically major label backed by everybody from Justin Bieber to Post Malone, you know? So he had just like industrial backing behind him
for sure. And it was crazy to dive down that part of the wormhole to be like,
right,
oh my god, not only is this
it. they weren't open about it, you know?
Right, yeah, they had to make it look, you know, they had to get his aesthetic down. They held his songs from streaming services for forever, for the longest time.
They wanted him to look cred and legit for as long as he could, you know?
For sure. And still, so many songs aren't on Spotify, aren't on Apple Music. And at one point, they were. When that night, when we first did that dig, I was on Apple Music listening to the Hellboy mixtape. But it was just people uploading
just
it
jacks
to Apple.
Yeah, they were
right. But that's how much momentum.
Shouts to all you jackers out there. Going rogue on fucking Apple Music.
Right.
What's interesting to me about Peep, too, is, you know, I was having this conversation with a friend earlier, and I was saying, like, Peep was appealing to the kids Peep was appealing to today were the kids MCR appealed to in 2004.
Yep.
Like, the reason the scene, I think, is suffering, and these new scene bands aren't taking off, is because the kids aren't attracted to that. They're attracted
Right.
to Lil Peep. The kids who are fans of Lil Peep today, these 14 to 17-year-olds, if they were born, 5 years earlier, they would have been fans of MCR in 04. You know what I'm saying? It's that type of fan base. He appeals to the scene, so to speak. They might not be scene kids, but they would have been scene kids had they been born in a different era.
Totally. It's just a different world out there now. And we could go down that's a whole nother conversation about why the scene is where it is. And labels not taking action and accepting SoundCloud rap. But I will say real quick that it was forcing the labels to look SoundCloud rap right in the face. It was forcing the scene to talk about it. And that's why he made such an he was so important to our world. He was
He
making
was
us look at him.
he forced our world to look at him. He forced Pitchfork to look at him. He forced
Right.
everyone. It was just, you had no option. So kind of like, real quick backstory, Peep's from Long Island, right? He's not, particularly, he's not a popular kid at school. He's got a bunch of mental health issues. He thinks he's kind of a reject. He moves to LA, which is where this whole SoundCloud thing is happening. He's living in like a terrible, shitty apartment in Skid Row in LA, which is where he recorded a lot of these early songs. And it's kind of become part of the legend, like that apartment. I think he was homeless at one point, like couch crashing. But he joined the is it the Schema Posse?
I think that's how you pronounce. I
So,
always said schema, but
Schema, okay, Schema. He joins this posse of rappers out there, which is led by this guy who I don't remember his name, but he was a 3-6 Mafia protege. And it's like, I guess after that is, and he's obviously got the backing from Kara, Eminem's manager, and they're kind of starting to make stuff happen for him. So the early stuff happens. And I'm talking like pre-Beamer Boy. Do you remember any of the early stuff? Because we got in after that, and I don't even know if I ever dug that far back. Do you remember any of the early stuff, Tyler Sharp?
yes, I did do a dive, but I found out this week that I didn't even get to the bottom. When I
Yeah.
did do the dive, I listened to as far back as his mixtape Lil Peep Volume 1, and
Okay.
it has the way I remember it is that it has a sample of Flyleaf's All Around Me on
Okay,
that
so
album.
way back. So we can kind of start, I think, like, we'll just call them the early official singles. Like, he started dropping like Beamer Boy, Gym Class, Come Around, White Tee, Pick Me Up, Live Forever, The Way I See Things, which I believe is his most viewed single on YouTube, without a music video, which is kind of interesting. And Star Shopping. So like, he drops all those songs, and they're all kind of cleverly scattered around YouTube and SoundCloud with like really intricate, interesting artwork, which I think helped the songs get views. And I think that he got a lot of hype off that. And that hype kind of enabled him to drop Crybaby, which I think, is Crybaby one of your favorite releases from him?
It's definitely one of the most notable, I would say.
Yeah.
That's when things really started picking up.
Yeah, I mean, after all those singles burn, he drops Crybaby. That's got like the samples on it and stuff.
Wonderwall. I know it's cheesy, but that Wonderwall
It's good.
sample, I
Is the
love
Postal
that song.
Service one?
It
Is that on
is. It
Crybaby? Yeah.
absolutely is, man.
So Crybaby blows up. I think Lil Jeep is a big hit from Crybaby, that song. And then he does like some post Crybaby Lucy singles, just some Lucy's, like White Wine. That
With
blew
Lil
up.
Tracy.
Yeah, that one blew up. The video was all like sketchy lo-fi VHS
90s.
core, right? Like VHS core. And then he drops Hellboy, which that's kind of the turning point, right?
For sure.
Hellboy, I would say, was the mixtape that made him a star. Would you agree?
Absolutely. It seemed like after he dropped that, he was pretty much everywhere.
And I was listening through Hellboy, and not only is it what made him a star, but it's a really fucking good mixtape. Like, I can it to me it's almost a front to backer. It's just a really enjoyable listen.
Absolutely. And I just go back to the first time I listened to it front to back. I was like, I didn't know what I was hearing. Like, it was hard for me to perceive what I was hearing and comprehend it. Because I'd never heard anything like it. Like, I had, but it was weird because I had heard stuff like it. We went through this, the scene went through the weird phase that, you know, you could call it grunkcore, whatever, in like 2009, right, where you could compare this to the first Breathe Carolina album and some of those demos. And I was like,
this was like the fine vintage wine to that's like Natty Ice. You know what I mean?
For
like,
sure,
this was just such a different level. What were some of your favorite songs off Hellboy?
Definitely the title track.
Right.
The song they played when I crashed into the wall. That song pops off so hard when he played it live.
Definitely a fan favorite at shows.
Yeah. Girls, I totally came around to Girls. The instrumental on that track is just genius. I love Worlds Away and Cobain. I didn't like that the first time I heard it, but I really started to come around to it later. And Gucci Mane's kind of like a fan favorite for sure.
I like Gucci Mane. That song, I don't know what it has to do with Gucci Mane, but the beat is sick fucking that song. So for me, yeah, it's Gucci Mane. Like, the song they played when I crashed is obviously amazing. I like that one. I really love Worlds Away just as his random pop moment on that mixtape.
Right.
Just kind of like showcasing, hey, I could do top 40 radio if I wanted.
Right.
And just his full vocal range getting stretched, I really love. Like you said, Girls too. It's just Girls is kind of a classic at this point.
At this point, for sure.
Is Girls on? This is so confusing because Peep is confusing. But is Girls actually on Hellboy?
Yes, it's the 11th track.
I thought it was a Lucy this whole time. That's crazy. Like,
you
it's
didn't
just
know it's on Hellboy.
His discography is so scattered and so chaotic that, like,
it's kind of difficult to keep track of. Yeah,
yes,
definitely.
Okay, so after Hellboy, he's now sort of the biggest deal on SoundCloud in his own world.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on this you know, XXX and Playboi Carti and, you know, Uzi and all these other guys are blowing up in this other world. But Peep in the emo lane is kind of like, he's just in his own special lane on SoundCloud rap. And he goes on this really impressive spree of Lucy singles. Just one off, you know, you got songs like Kiss. You got the girl's video, not necessarily the song.
Mm-hmm.
You got Witchblade. You got Giving Girls Cocaine.
I Crash, You Crash.
And it was like, when those songs were dropping, man, it was like they were shooting to a million plus streams overnight. Like, it was like you could tell at that point Peep had reached critical mass. Like, he was ready to be the biggest star ever.
It was crazy to watch. Like, we were at that point when he was releasing all those one-off singles and standoffs, I was fully immersed, but I still didn't really understand everything that was happening. And just to watch these songs take off, I'm just like, a year from now, this kid is gonna own everything. Like, it was insane to watch and to see it go up that fast, because as we've talked about all year on the show, there's nothing happening in the scene.
Right.
And it was crazy to watch something like this even be loosely associated with the scene pop off as hard as it was, because even one of those songs, I Crash, You Crash, which you liked a lot more than I do, but the outro of the song is a Pierce the Veil sample.
Oh, yeah. And that actually might be one of my favorite Peep songs. It's a good Peep Tracy moment. But yeah, he totally outros that song just straight up acoustic singing to Pierce the Veil. What's the song called? They just did the...
Today I Saw the Whole World. And
Today I Saw the Whole World. It's so random.
If you like total up all the streams that that song has gotten across SoundCloud and YouTube, it's probably bigger than the entire Pierce the Veil album.
Oh. And you know, it was the moment when I realized I was indoctrinated. Like, I realized I was a prisoner of Peep and I couldn't escape, was when I was at work. And I found myself out loud around my coworkers. I was like, Giving Girls Cocaine.
Oh,
I was like,
no.
Oh my God, I love this song.
No.
And that's a problem.
That
like, and
right.
I'm humming. I was humming it. I had to start humming it because I didn't want to say the lyrics, of course. You know, I'm at work. And I'm like, this is not an okay song. This is not an okay thing to be humming or singing, but it's in my head. And I am now a prisoner to this music. Like, I love it so much. I can't help it. I like a song called Giving Girls Cocaine, you know. That's not my style. That's not normally how I roll.
Same, dude. I couldn't.
Like, sames, right? Like,
I was the exact same. This is not
the most
okay.
Juvenile lyric.
This is
you know
not
what I mean?
Okay.
Most juvenile lyrics about girls, and somehow he got a pass for it.
Yeah.
Just because he, I don't know if it's just because he was such like a sweet baby angel, but so after that just impressive run, and I just want to stress it was an impressive run of singles, like something I haven't seen before from a musician, of just where everyone he dropped took off.
Mm-hmm.
We get to the first album, right, which is Come Over When You're Sober. What were your thoughts when that album dropped, Tyler Sharp?
So do we want to talk about the album right away, or do we want to talk about when Ben's Truck dropped?
We can talk about Ben's Truck first.
Because Ben's Truck dropped about 2 months before the album was ever announced.
And it was a little weird.
I loved it right off the bat. And I was very scared that I wasn't going to love it. And mm-hmm. I remember you didn't like it right off the bat. But like a few days later, you texted me and you're like, I'm in.
Yeah, it was interesting. To me, it was the first time Peep had... It was still an emo song, but it was more hard. It was more hip hop. You know, it was more of like, to me, Ben's Truck feels like it fits more with girls than with like Kiss.
Yes.
You know, or something.
Absolutely.
It's more of a hip hop song.
It was
even
emo.
Though it's got guitar. Yeah, you know, he's just a genre defying entity. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, it's got guitar, but it's hip hop somehow. And it was him being hard and tough sort of sounding. And
for sure.
At first it was very jarring. And I was like, I don't like this new Peep. And maybe 4 days later, I was like, this is the best song ever written, Tyler. Like, I was like, yo, you know, Lil Bo Peep in the back of the truck. I couldn't stop singing it, you know? And I think it's one of his best songs to this day.
I think it is, too. The first time I heard it, when that riff kicks in, dude, that's literally the riff from P.O.D.'s Southtown. And I was like, this is not happening right now.
It sounds so liquid clean, though, when it comes in.
Good.
And so, after Peep died, I tried to listen to a lot of his songs, and I couldn't do it. Like, I tried to do the whole SoundCloud dive
mm-hmm.
of all of his tracks, and I got through maybe three, and it made me too sad. You know, I was legitimately depressed, and the songs were making it worse, because, you know, all of his lyrics are so, it's all written on the wall right there. He's saying, I want to die through
right.
every song. But Ben's Truck is the one I can still listen to, kind of, because it's just kind of fun.
Yeah, it was more of like a club party song.
Very flexy. He's flexing a lot in it, and I like that. And
for sure, for sure. Yeah, it is. It's been tough over the last few days, like figuring out what songs I can mentally handle at this point.
So yeah, I come around on Ben's Truck. You were just, I remember you
instantly.
Texted me all caps that chorus. I was like, what is this dude talking about? Like, so it took me a couple days. But so then we had this weird waiting period, kind of. And then the album drops, Come Over When You're Sober. And
right.
What do you think of that, Tyler?
4 out of the 7 songs I was totally sold on. I was sold on Save Your Shit, Bright Side, Ben's Truck, and... My favorite song that I heard when the album dropped was Awful Things. I knew it was going to be a hit. And it's his most streamed song on his official YouTube channel now. It has 19 million views.
Yeah, big song. I was disappointed in the album. It's a great album. Like, I love it. But to me, I felt like at that moment it was supposed to be Peep's Nevermind. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought... It was supposed to be the album that blew up and set the world on fire. And it didn't do that. That's disappointing me. It doesn't change the fact that, like, I think it's a great album still.
For
sure. I think, like, Bright Side is amazing. You know, that song is undeniably amazing. Ben's Truck's amazing. You know, I love all the other songs on it. What's the other one that goes off really hard at shows?
Is it Problems or You Said?
You Said. That
yeah.
one goes off really hard at shows. I like that one a lot too.
It's funny that you compare it, like, it should have been Nevermind. I saw this as Bleach.
Okay.
I saw this as the stepping stone, especially because it's called Come Over When You're Sober Part 1. I'm like, there's still character. I know it's taking forever, but there's still character building here. Like, when 2 drops and he's got all these different projects they're working on, he's hanging out with Post Malone. You just felt it, man. Like, the momentum was just turning into a fucking avalanche, and this kid was still destined to take over the world.
I really loved Save That Shit too. I really
like
that song.
That supposedly, I've watched a few videos, that's the song that he wrote with Rob Cavallo.
Interesting. Yeah, so And right around this time is when he sort of starts doing the fashion model thing.
Right.
And I just felt like, I don't know, and I don't want to theorize here, but I don't know if, you know, you say this was his bleach. I don't know if the heavy drug use at this point had started to affect his songwriting, you know, like, and maybe had he had a clearer head, this could have been his Nevermind.
Yeah.
Certainly seems possible to me. Like, things started to get weirder and change, you know, and he was going in all these different directions at this point.
Definitely, but I think there were a lot of cooks in the kitchen on these songs. Like, yeah. This was his first official, like we said, there was basically a major label backing him. He had so much writing on these new songs, the official releases.
That weird thing happened to where he said it was coming, it was going to drop at midnight, and then it didn't, and people freaked out.
They postponed,
remember?
It. Oh my god! Yeah. I forgot,
oh my god,
about
what a
that.
Disaster. Yeah, we were staying up for it. We were staying up for the Peep album.
The disappointment.
And they're just like, Peep just tweets, "Sorry guys, not coming out tonight." Like, what the fuck, you know? And
I
don't know how long. A week later, 2 weeks later, it came out.
I know. And then he tweeted dropping the album on Monday or whatever, like it was coming out then. And then he tweeted dropping another album a week from then. And then I went back the next day, and that tweet was deleted. I was so disappointed. Like, I at that point, I was so infatuated with Peep and the concept of Peep as an entity that I wanted all the music I could get my hands on.
So we haven't really touched on this yet, but I think as important, maybe not as important, but pretty damn close to important, is his image. Peep's image and looks played such a big part into his character and just sort of like the icon he became. You know, like just sort of the millennial Kurt Cobain. You know, he was obviously like an objectively good looking person. You know, girls loved him, obviously. It's no secret. And he just had a great sense of style, you know, and he always, you had different eras, you know, you had the era where he had like the pink hair, you know, and then you had the blonde hair era. And then you had the kind of crazy emo pink black hair era. You had the shaved head era. You had the blonde hair is coming back era, which I was all about that. Just interesting how important image was, and the way he embraced it, I thought was really cool as an artist, because he didn't sort of, a lot of artists will be like, oh, the image doesn't matter, man. And he was like, no, man, the image matters. He's like, he said it straight up. I'm a character, you know, he's like, I'm a pro wrestler. Basically, I'm playing a character and I need to have a good look.
Absolutely. There's so much I'd love to unpack with his image and so much I want to say about it, but we just don't have enough time. I tell artists that I work with all the time, and I would use Peep as an example. I'm like, go Google Lil Peep and see what's happening. Like, dive into that world a little bit and see why your image is so important as a brand, as an entity, and why you need it outside of just your music. He could have wrote that book, man. Like, he just understood why that was so important. And I'll never forget it. We keep going back to the first night, but you sent me the picture that he posted on his Instagram, the screenshot from the girls video where he's wearing the turtleneck and he's got the blonde hair and it's all swooped over the side.
Wait, I
want
to cut you off real quick. That wasn't from his Instagram. I clipped that from the YouTube
video. Oh, that
video.
Was a screenshot?
Yeah, before he did it on Instagram. So I was like, this is an iconic moment right here. Like, this look, I was like, I have got to show Tyler Sharp this look because it's so on point.
I thought it was Craig Owens.
Yeah, right?
I was like, and then I looked the next text that you sent and you were like, so this is Lil Peep. And I'm like... What is happening?
I remember
my entire world was getting
I had sent you the music, but I knew it was important to show you what he looked like too, because and you know, I even showed him to my mom recently, you know, because I was so bummed out about it, and I was showing my mom pictures and she was like, he looks like an angel, like,
right?
She said, you know what I mean, he just looks like pure happiness and joy. And he was very good at iconicizing himself graphically, you know, as an image. Like, you think of the last Instagram he posted before he died of himself, and I mean, it's the most Cobain I think I've ever seen him look, you know. He's got that facial hair, a broken Xanax on his tongue, caption fuck it, and he looks iconic even when he was dying.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think objectively Kurt Cobain was a beautiful man. Like, I think he just looked great. And I think Peep had that. There was just and some magic.
How many comparisons, pretty much everyone from the New York Times to Pitchfork to Noisy to Me and You have called him this generation's Kurt Cobain.
It was just inevitable. Like, he was rising on that same wave. But I have a lot to say about that. And I've said it on the show before that this isn't
a problem.
It wasn't healthy. This isn't necessarily a good thing. They're selling this image of self-destruction. And I said it on the show back when we talked about it over the summer. This isn't good. This is dangerous. This isn't what should be put in front of the youth.
To your point about the danger, there's just this weird thing about it's attractive. We have this weird flaw built into us as humans, a lot of us, where we are attracted to broken people. You know what I mean? Like, yo, shouts to me. Like, I like bad girls. I've dated some crazy girls, and that's not their fault. Like, mental instability is something I am attracted to in a weird way, you know, when it comes to dating. And that's a flaw in me. And it's the same way with the musicians we look up to. And you can even, like, just philosophizing. Like, I think of, like, for some reason as humans, like, we weren't meant to be these straight line people who do the same thing every day in these nice, clean, perfect orders. I think our state of nature was a little more chaotic and dangerous, you know, like you think back to the cavemen hunting woolly mammoth, you know, in the snow crossing the Bering Strait. Like, our state of nature, there was danger and chaos. So I think that primal instinct of danger and chaos is still appealing to us. Like, you know, when something's broken, we're attracted to it in a weird way. Think of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right?
Totally.
If it's not broken, everybody in the world knows what it is. If it's not leaning and broken, it's just another fucking tower. But because it's broken, everybody in the world knows what it is.
Absolutely. I was reading, I wish I knew who wrote this, but I was reading something in Rolling Stone, like, right after I left Alternative Press, and I was just trying to process where we were as a culture musically, because we've seen the 21 Pilots rise, and we've seen what kind of themes that they rose on. And they compared, back in the day, people don't want to revolt to Rage Against the Machine. They want to self-deprecate to 21 Pilots now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where the youth is at. And I'm going to use this time to bring up an interview that Peep's brother, Oscar, did with People magazine. And he said, Peep...
Basically, Peep was, like, not suicidal or anything.
Right. I'm going to read a few quotes that he said. He said... Peep, quote, was not struggling at the time that they found out about his death. And he said it was an accident. It really was an accident. He was super happy with where he was in life. And he said, my brother didn't take 5 Xanax pills every day, but he would take them and then post on Instagram about it. I wish it would have paid for him to be a little safer, but the world needed him to have supplerative problems that he dealt with in a supplerative ways. Gus, which Peep's real name was Gustav, dealt with these problems much better than Lil Peep did, but people didn't know Gus, and there's a reason Gus doesn't sell. Mm-hmm. And, like, that just, it killed me, man. Like,
they sold
this kid, and it killed him.
He knew it, though, you know? Like he says, he was a WWE character. He knew he had to play that role, you know? And I totally believe that it was an accident. You know, I don't think this was a suicide at all.
I do too.
And there's, you know, we haven't really talked about it, but he died of a suspected Xanax mixed with something overdose. The rumors going around are that he was given bad Xanaxes that were laced with something, because Peep is somebody with a high tolerance to Xanax. It's going to take a lot to take him out. And there was just, it was the craziest musician's death, because just to process it on a level of, we got to watch it play out on social media, you know, like the night before he died, I checked his Instagram, because Peep's been in my life every day, more than my friend, you know, like I just see his face every day. I listen to his voice. I check his Instagram. And his head was upside down. He was dropping green Xanax bars on his face and they were bouncing off, not getting in his mouth. And he looked zonked out as fuck. And I was like, yep, typical Peep, you know. And I closed my phone. Literally did I know that was him, you know, beginning the process of dying. And And there's even a video of, you know, his opener, I think it's pronounced Beeksy or Bexy, stumbling onto dead Lil Peep just on the tour bus. You know, he's like, he plans on sneaking up and he goes in the room and Peep's just, he's there not alive. And the dude's like, fuck, you know, and the camera cuts off. It was wild to see it play out.
Yeah. And that was, I had to get off the internet. Like when you sent me those videos and I couldn't.
And I told you, I sent them with a warning. I was like, this, this is something you might not want to see.
Right. And I couldn't deal with it after that. Like it was just way too fucking much. Like this dude, this interview that his brother did with people just really like it broke my heart, man. Because he had an entire team backing him of the highest caliber in the industry. And I know Peep was aware, but we talk about Kurt Cobain and we act like that dude was a hero. And in, you know, in some ways, his music has helped people. And right. That matters. That is absolutely valid. But that dude was an asshole.
Yeah. Like that. Kurt Cobain could be a shithead a lot of the times.
Right. Absolutely. And I don't think it's healthy to turn people like that into heroes.
Everybody loved Peep, though.
That's the difference. But
you've never heard a bad word said about Pete from anyone who's met him.
Absolutely, and that is the difference between him and Kurt Cobain for sure. It's the fact that he was a kid and that he had a he cared about people.
I think his brother said this in the interview. Going back to it, you know, he told his brother his favorite part, you know, he wasn't suicidal. His favorite part was that, you know, he loved making his music and he loved that it saved people from suicide because people would tell him that all the time. He said that was he was such a depressed person himself that he loved the fact that his music was saving people from dying. He thought that was cool as fuck. And he told his brother that.
Right. I just think that... I don't want Peep to be remembered the way he's going to be remembered. Like, that breaks my heart that Kurt Cobain had no one to tell him no.
Right.
Peep had people that could have stepped in and stopped this.
Yeah, it's true. I think everyone thought it was business as usual. You know, I think this really is a case of bad luck. You know, like all these other rappers are doing way more Xans and way more lean and way more perks, you know, than Peep is. And they're fine. And there's a theory out there that he was given some bad pills, essentially, that were laced with something else, you know. And I think it could just be a case of bad luck. Like his planned image didn't really work out.
I totally agree. But that doesn't make it okay, right? Like, that doesn't make selling this lifestyle and selling drug addiction okay. Like, this...
It's certainly not okay. No. Like I said, I agree with you. It's terrible. It's dangerous. You know, you and I talked. We were like, yo, this is... Like, we loved it, and we hated ourselves for loving it because we were like, this is dangerous. Tyler and I have this joke called the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, where... All of these weird millennial icons started popping up, and we thought they were the signal of the end of the world. Like, and we had Peep, the Cash Me Outside girl, Lil Pump, and XXXTentacion. Just, I think that was basically our lineup. Except we removed Peep at one point because we were like, nah, Peep's good. He's not a bad guy.
Right. We had Poppy on there at one point too.
Yeah, Poppy was on there, but then that's not going to happen. But maybe it'll happen now because Moshi's kind of getting some movement. But
yeah, we'll see with that. But it's just such a difficult situation. And I just think drug addiction is such a heartbreaking issue in the world today, and I have so much trouble processing all of this, and it's difficult to talk about because
you're right that it's the wrong thing to sell, but it's just the way he rode the edge, the way he didn't give a fuck about life. For some reason, we are, as flawed human beings, we are attracted, like you said, to that. We are like, oh my, we just like, we love an outlaw. We're just so attracted to that fearlessness, and it's a bad lifestyle. It's dangerous. It shouldn't be sold, but we can't help but look away. There's something appealing in it, and the darker parts of ourselves.
And it's just like his brother said, there's a reason Gus doesn't sell and Peep did.
Right,
and
right.
That's, I don't even know what to say to that, because it's 100% right. Like there's a reason why this was going to be so big. And I question me questioning it, because it did help people, you know, it did. I think it genuinely saved people's lives, but I don't think it's,
I worry that he took some people with him too, though.
I just don't even want to go there. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't even want to think about it, man.
I was so, and I want to ask you this, Tyler, you know, we dealt with Chester's death from Linkin Park, and I was really bummed about that, you know, but I was legitimately depressed for a couple days with Peep's death. I've never felt like this with the loss of an artist. Like, I felt like, I've almost feel like I've had a family member or a child like ripped away from me, you know?
Yeah. It was 12:15 AM. When I found out the news,
And you texted me, by the way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I sent you as soon as I found out. I
couldn't believe waking up to that. It was...
Yeah, and I felt terrible that you had to wake up to those texts.
Because I woke up to it. It was like, yo, I think something's going down. And then it was like, yo, Peep might be dead. I think Peep's dead. And then it was like, dude, Peep's dead. And then it was like article. And I was just like, oh my God, it got worse as I read down.
Yeah, I was just like, I didn't know if you were still up or what, but I didn't even know what to do at the time. Rabab, my old editor at AP, and she still works there right now. She's awesome. And
Shouts to Rabab.
Shouts to Rabab, absolutely. Her and I talk about Peep all the time, and we were so excited about him as an artist, and he was just at the AP offices. You can go look it up on YouTube. They released videos of him. Mm-hmm. Really cool.
A man
cool
embracing
Halloween
the
theme.
Scene.
He wanted to be here, man. He wanted to be here. But she texted me, and she's like, I think something's going on. And I felt like I was going to throw up.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe it. I had literally just gotten off Instagram, and I hadn't been on Instagram for a few days. So, like, five-day-old posts were popping up of Peep, and I was like, oh, man, his hair's growing out again. I kind of like that. He's kind of getting back to the girls' era video style. And I got off, and I was literally dozing off on the couch, and then I got that text. And I was literally up till 4 a.m. I couldn't sleep. I was worthless the whole next day. Like, I was, I just couldn't process it.
It's like you're robbed of our future and all the music he was going to give us, because he was just getting started. He was 20 fucking one.
He was a kid, man.
It was just getting started. And John Caramonica from the New York Times has gone on record saying this, and I think he's one of the best music critics out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I will echo this 100%. Lil Peep would have been one of the biggest stars in the country musically in 2018 or 2019 or 2020. Like, yes. It was going to happen. He was going to be the biggest thing ever. He was going to be the bad boy Justin Bieber, whatever you have it. It was going to happen. I truly believe he could have been. Are you with me there, Tyler?
100%, dude. We backed this guy. We backed this guy. And that's part of the reason why I'm still having trouble processing it. It's just like you and I spent our like almost all of 2017 with Peep, basically. You know, we never met him. We didn't know what he was like in person, but on an emotional level, we connected with this. And we talk on this show, we've talked all year about how the light looks so dim at the end of this fucking tunnel, and there's nothing that we're excited about anymore, because no one's giving us a reason to be excited about anything. And Peep was giving us a reason to be excited about something again. And it's gone.
I was so surprised by how many texts I got from people.
Same.
When he died. Like, as if I had lost a family member or something. Like, people just knew I had been hyping this guy up for the last 6 months. So everyone was texting me, like, dude, your guy, are you okay? And it's burned bright, burned fast. Like, we just had like an amazing 8 months with him, you know, less than a year, but he was in our life. You and I talked about him every day, no matter what, you know. He was just in our life in some way every day. And I want to kind of circle back to the lyric from one of his early songs, The Way I See Things. The lyric is, I got a feeling that I'm not going to be here for next year, so let's laugh a little before I'm gone. And that's kind of how I feel like this year has been, you know. He wasn't sure he was going to be around, and we had a lot of fun for that this short year that we got to spend with him. And I'm really grateful for it, you know, that we happened to stumble upon it and had this great musical experience with him. And I'm so sad he's gone.
I know. I still can't believe it, but I'm thankful that we did have the time that we did with him, and I was able to talk to so many different people about him. Rabab and I have had so many conversations, and the fact that he ended up in the AP offices, you know, where you and I both used to work, and he was there, and he loved it from what she told me. And you can go on YouTube and see those videos where he's just talking about Halloween.
Still been working at AP, you know me, I would have been screaming the same way I did with Five Seconds of Summer. I would have been like, put this guy on the cover, put him on the cover.
Absolutely.
I guess we should go out on a positive note. What were your three favorite Peep songs, Tyler?
Oh,
can you name your three favorites? I know it's tough, but take a minute to think about it if you have to.
That's a tough one. I definitely, The Bright Side is probably my number one. This is probably pretty shallow for the OG Peep fans out there, but
it's undeniable though.
Yeah, I really just, when he played that song live, when the chorus kicked in, there are videos where I remember sending you a couple of videos, and I'm like, dude, it sounds like he's leading a fucking revolution when that chorus drops. And it did, man. So definitely that song. I'm gonna throw in Awful Things too.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna throw in Hellboy, the title track.
Okay.
For a couple of different reasons that we've already talked about. But what about you?
This was really tough, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say an OG Star Shopping one.
Okay,
nice. Really connect with that song. I love it. I Crash, You Crash.
Nice. Yeah, really, you love that song.
I really did. And it's a toss-up between Kiss or Ben's Truck.
Nice.
And I'm just going to give it to Ben's Truck.
Okay.
Because I need some later period Peep, and Ben's Truck is just so undeniable. So I'm going to go with those three.
All right. Yeah. I don't know how... You know, the future, I hope to be able to listen to Lil Peep and remember all the good times that we had, but it's tough right now.
It's so sad because he was the answer to all the questions. Whenever anyone asked me, what's going to happen to music? What's going to happen to emo? What's going to happen to the scene? I had Peep as an answer, you know?
I said the exact same thing, man. I pushed it so hard in every conversation that I had with people.
We were robbed of our future. You know, he was going to do great things. Do you have anything else, Tyler, you want to share about Peep before we go?
I think we touched on pretty much everything. We could go on for hours, man, but just want to say rest in peace and send our condolences to his family, because I can't even imagine. Like, we feel this way and we never even met the kid. I can't imagine what it's like to know him.
Yeah. All right. Rest in peace, little Peep. You left us too soon.